So I was recently shopping. I was over in the snack aisle, as many people would term it. Some people consider it the bulk bin area. And I saw what has become very commonplace in stores. People grazing on the free, and you can put that in quotes, the free samples in the bulk bin areas. I see this a lot whenever I go down this aisle. On this particular time, there was a couple scooping peanuts into a bag, and luckily they weren't just scooping it out of the aisle, but they were scooping into a bag and then just proceeding to eat it as they were continued on their way. There was another mom letting her small child dig through the candy bin while I was there, and she didn't really tell them not to. She just said not to pick in that one. So I didn't buy my sweet and sour gummy worms that day. It was full of kid germs. You know, there's nothing necessarily illegal about opening a package when you're shopping and maybe eating food, assuming when you go to the checkout aisle, you're actually paying for what you ate and consumed in the store. And there's, of course, nothing morally wrong hanging out at the beef sausage table at Costco until you become first name basis with those employees. Actually, Costco says to eat all that you want. Keep coming back for samples. I found that clause, and I have taken part in it whenever they have the beef sausages. They don't always have a good drink you can follow up with to go sample. But you know, bulk feeding, or feeding from the bulk bins, no matter how inconsequential of amount it might be, when you're not paying for it, it's simply stealing. You know, one blogger and I got online trying to figure out, like, what is the legality of this? What do supermarkets assume when they have this option in their stores? And is there something different when readily available food is put up in that way? One blogger I read, trying to justify her practice, when she was confronted by somebody that went to the store manager and tried to have her, I guess, detained or something, she goes, "However, is it really that bad to take a small sample bag that you have already filled yourself? And I would consider this the same as putting a bag of grapes in your cart at the grocery store and eating a few throughout the course of your shopping trip. In addition, I was spending about $30 on other items, so it's not like I was walking to the store just to rip off their bulk food bins." And that was a quote. You know, I've read, as I was doing some research, I read several other legal, or some posts on some like a legal blog. And the consensus is, now as long as you have pre-weighed an item and are paying based upon that initial weight, not the weight that it ends up being when you pay for it, it's legal and it's within your rights to eat all you want. But even grapes, if you're buying it by the pound and you eat half of them, by the time you get there, you have eaten and you are only paying for half of what you have consumed. And what was really perplexing to me as I was reading through some of these sites was the discussion of whether or not this was okay. There was fiery debates going on amongst these flame wars of people saying, well, it's small, it's not consequential, and quit worrying about these small little things. But we can say unequivocally, at least based upon the people who said that this was stealing, that they are biblically correct. Paying or eating something that you're not paying for, if it is not given to you freely, is stealing. Like I said, many tried to wax over this thing because it's a trivial issue. It's something that's not big. It's not a big deal. You're eating a couple cents in peanuts, a couple cents in dried apricots. It's not really that big of a deal. There's bigger things. Besides, if you are there buying food, you're kind of, you know, helping the store out to begin with. Well, Deuteronomy 5:19, which wasn't quoted in these blogs, is quite clear. You shall not steal. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Leviticus 19:11 lists more of what we should not be doing when we engage in this kind of act. Leviticus 19:11, you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. Now, if you're doing this small little thing, you're stealing, you're falsifying what you're going to pay for, and you're lying, in essence, to the store when you tell them when you're buying what you have in that bag. And you know, these, that you shall not steal, you shall not lie, those aren't the controversial commandments, the ones that the world thinks have been done away with, like the keeping of the Sabbath, like Kate taking God's name in vain. Those are still core to people who profess Christianity. And we understand that sin, no matter how trivial or no matter how heinous, is still sin. Sin incurs the death penalty. All sin. Big sins, as people would term them, are small sins. Everything like this incurs the death penalty and requires the redemption, the shedding of Christ's blood to keep us from having to pay that penalty. And the reason why this is so is because any, as I said, sin alienates us from God. It removes us from being able to be part of God's presence. In Romans 1, starting in verse 18, Romans 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The question people are asking of not understanding why and how this could be wrong is because the truth is being suppressed by this world. In verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. And that's what people are who suppress God's truth. They become fools. They rely on their own instincts, their own ideals, and they lead, and that does lead to death. And in verse 28, continuing, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do things which are not fitting. When people put away the righteousness of God, when they ignore it, God will give them over to that understanding, or that lack thereof of real understanding. You know, we have been given the opportunity by the death of Christ, by the blood that He shed for us, to be forgiven of our sins. And that ability is subject, or that opportunity is subject to be nullified if we fail to take advantage of it daily, if we fail to be asked for forgiveness of our sins. If sin no longer bothers us, as some of these people blogging about these small, little, inconsequential sins, if that no longer bothers them, then, or us at least, then we stop caring. Then the sin that does not, or that cannot be repented of, can apply to us, the unpardonable sin, when we just don't care anymore. And the scary thing is that is the state of this country, of this world, that they are continually sinking into, that they are. So I guess to say that I'm perplexed of why people would ask these questions would be wrong. I shouldn't be so puzzled by that lack of biblical understanding, because we see what this country is really coming to, this world even. Hosea 4, we can get a really good understanding of what is happening to this world today. Hosea 4, and starting in verse 1. And what happens when a world disembowels themselves to God? Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, which includes us, includes these Israelite, our Israelite countries. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying, killing and stealing, and committing adultery, they break all restraint with bloodshed upon bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away. with the beasts of the field, with the birds and the birds of the air, even the fish and the sea will be taken away. Spiritual sin affects physical reality. Continuing in verse 4, let no man contend or rebuke one another. For your people are like those who contend with the priest. Therefore you shall stumble in that day. The prophet shall also stumble with you in the night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sin against me. I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And it shall be like people, like priests, so I shall punish them for their ways and reward them for their deeds. For they shall eat, but not have enough, and they shall commit harlotry, but not increase, because they have ceased obeying the Lord. That is what this country is coming to when they forsake God. You know, this attitude doesn't necessarily begin with a huge bang, with one big choice. You know, Satan is very cunning. He's very subtle. It often begins with small ideas, trivial choices. But the consequences to trivial choices, and big choices even, still in the same if they don't lead and they don't build up within us God's Spirit. And Paul stated to the Galatians, starting in Galatians 5:1, Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Well, why? In verse 9 of this chapter, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Small things will increase to big things. Small choices will increase to big choices that can, if we are called by God, lead us out of the church if they are not directed correctly. You know, we are coming to this season when we are to remove leavening from our lives for that Passover period. And we must be acutely aware of what Paul was warning there. It doesn't take much to derail us, brethren. Our spiritual path, if we let these little things, these inconsequential things, overtake us, if we allow bad behaviors in, they will quickly spread. They will quickly grow like leaven does. You know, we must seek after and hunger for something different than what satiates this world. One final scripture in 1 Peter 2. And starting in verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, brethren, there is only one truth, and that truth emanates from God. Let us be sure that we are filling up on that.